entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Recorded April 13, 2015, episode 100. Today's topic includes Leighton's training requires some role-playing in prep to feed and brush the teeth of residents, and so much more. Jumping right into it, the podcast is ready to go again. Unfortunately, Eric is not able to join us. I thought I had someone else lined up. But that kind of fell through as well. And I guess, Leighton, let me just kind of tell you what I've got, lined up as far as other guests coming on here. Katrina Hoover, she's been on before. She's going to join us in a few weeks to discuss Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he was a preacher in Nazi Germany and was a very, very conservative, preacher. He was a pastor. He was a preacher. And he actually conspired to assassinate Hitler at least once, maybe a few times. But his story is very, very interesting. And so Katrina has read the book on him. And I wanted to have her on just to kind of discuss his life a little bit. And it sounded super interesting when she was telling me about it a few months ago. Do you know anything about Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
No, but the name sounds slightly familiar. I don't know.
So I'm.
Was he Baptist?
Lutheran.
Lutheran. Okay.
So we'll get more details then, and yeah, there is a book out about him. Something else. My cousin Wesley has returned from overseas a few months ago, and he was in North Korea, and he was telling Leighton and I a few stories about North Korea, and we were very, very interested, and so he's going to join us as well, probably a few different times because there's quite a bit to cover, and so that's something else to look forward to in the coming weeks, as well as always, Uncle Kevin and Mr. Dave will also be joining us in the coming weeks as well. We just need to get that scheduled out. But enough about the future. How have you been, Leighton, and what's been going on over in the Ozarks?
In the Ozark Mountains. I don't know, a little bit of this, a little of that. Mostly, my weeks out of the past week has just been filled with classes. It turns out there's quite a bit to learn about how to take care of old people.
Would you say they are as delicate as like a newborn baby?
That's a tough call. Not quite, but I feel like they're not as delicate as that, but they need to be treated as delicate as that, if that makes any sense. I don't know.
It does.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't know, like something that they absolutely drill in class, and I totally agree. I totally agree that like every human deserves respect or to be treated with respect, mm-hmm. no matter like what you're doing for them or what your intent is. Just because you have the right motive doesn't mean that you necessarily are doing it in the right way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they'd really stress like no matter what task you're going about in your day, always have the resident in mind. Like for the resident first priority.
Do they give you like any kind of role-playing exercises?
Yeah, they do actually. Just today we got to feed each other.
Tell us more about that. Were you a feeder or a feedee?
I was both, man. So I don't know. The one student was role-playing a, what is that called? A person that I forget, like there's probably some like special medical term, but I can't think of it right now. But a person that can't feed themselves.
Just like their motor skills are so bad that they can't put the spoon towards their mouth.
Exactly. And so you have to, like, I don't know, get a napkin, and we had pudding. That was the snack
Okay.
that we were going to feed them. And yeah, we just, I don't know, we fed each other. It was kind of weird, like trying to judge like the size of bite, whatever. Everyone's different. The guy that I was feeding, he's a pretty big dude, and he's got a pretty big mouth, so I was able to shovel it on in, as fast as he could take it. That was great.
Do they ever prepare you for? I mean, I'm okay. These are older people, and sometimes they might not realize, where they're at. They might not recognize their surroundings, or that you're trying to feed them instead of trying to suffocate or gag them. So, I mean, I'm assuming that there might be times when they are surprised and might make violent movements. Is there any kind of instruction or training towards that end?
Mostly actually, like they say that the most likely time that a resident will resist or I don't know, put up some kind of fight is when you're giving them a shower. 'Cause and I could totally see that, because it's like it's when they're most exposed, and it's also like, I don't know, like having water splashed over your face could be like very jarring and shocking and be disorienting. I mean, just ask the terrorists, they get
You're
waterboarded
right, you're right.
all the time.
Hey, speaking, I have a question about that. Okay, you have to bathe the client or the older people,
Resident.
residents. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you wear like a rubber suit, or how do you go about not getting sopping wet?
I honestly think it's at your own discretion. I think it's encouraged that you wear a suit, I think. And gloves. Suit and gloves.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just found out that like my shoes aren't gonna work. I bought these like, they're not like overly special shoes, but they're just like, really good shoes for, they have like memory foam, whatever, in the lining.
Maybe.
And there's mesh on top, and that means that it can absorb water.
Oh. Well,
And
Layton,
so they recommend leather top.
it just so happens I've got the perfect kind of shoe for you.
What kind of shoe should I get, Ruben?
I've been sporting something similar to an army boot, and it works great for everything. It works for work. It even works for church, because you can roll, your pant leg will cover up the fact that it's a boot, and
Reuben.
it will not get wet. It is industrial. I mean, it's made for the army.
It's heavy, though.
It is
It's
heavy.
extremely heavy.
You it'll be tough to sneak up on someone. That is true. But other than
No, the heaviness is not for speaking up. The heaviness, it concerns me, the fact that it's like by the end of the day, my legs are going to be absolutely shot. Like 100%. Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that like, oh yeah, CNAs, like, they work way harder than everybody else. But I am saying that a CNA is constantly walking, like pretty much.
That reminds me of something. Since the latest update, or it was before the latest update with the iPhone, they started tracking your steps. Could you track how many steps or how many miles you walk?
Technically, I can't because, well, not with my phone at least, because we're not supposed to have our phones on us. But I could buy some like little cheap pedometer or something.
Okay, it'd be really interesting. I'm sure the listeners would also find it interesting as well.
Yeah, people want to know how many steps I take in a day, Ruben.
But go back to your training. Okay, you practiced feeding someone and being fed, so you know how it feels, how it could feel.
Yeah.
What other training have you done in your first full week?
We did that. We learned we learned how to brush a resident's teeth and or their dentures.
Okay, take
And
us
so we
through
got to,
that.
okay,
Like for
so
the
you
dentures,
gotta,
do you take that out of their mouth or do you leave it in their mouth?
well, normally it's like at the beginning of the day and at the end, I think. I'm not sure. So it depends, like, what time of day it is.
Okay.
So you could take it out of their mouth, or you could be taking it, like, out of their little retainer.
Okay.
That they keep it in.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. You take it. There's, like, some kind of, like, so you can brush it with just, like, normal toothpaste, whatever, I think. And then, like, when you want to insert it, there's, like, a special pink paste that you, like, squirt on top of it and on, like the top denture and the bottom denture.
So the part that would go, that would touch their gum?
Yeah. And, like, supposedly it, like, makes it so that it has, like, really good suction.
Really?
So it'll fall out. Yeah.
Huh. Do you remember Grandpa used to pop out his dentures?
No, I don't really. I remember our Aunt Ruth popping out her dentures. I mean, just, like, from time to time.
I didn't know she had dentures.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. She does.
Okay, anyway.
Well, that just goes to show, like, how real they look. I mean, you didn't even know.
I'm surprised at night they don't just gather all the dentures up and put them in, like, a like the dishwasher and just put it through a cycle.
Oh, Ruben, do you know how expensive dentures are? Extremely expensive.
Oh, really?
I mean, you don't want to be too rough with them. I mean, like, they're so expensive that even they like were actually brushing the teeth. He said you make sure that you put, like, a dish towel or something, like a rag, on the bottom of the sink. That way, if they do fall out of your hands, they'll fall on a soft surface that won't shatter the dentures.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty legit.
Did you practice by chance brushing any dentures or other people's teeth?
I practiced both. I mean, yeah. I got to brush the same guy who I fed today. I got to brush his teeth last week. And that went okay. Like, brushing the teeth, I mean, it was a little bit awkward. Like, it wasn't like I was actually, like, trying to vigorously brush his teeth anyway. I was just trying to, like, make sure I touch kind of the general surface of each tooth, whatever. And he warned me, like, dude, I have really sensitive gums.
Aww.
So don't be too rough.
Did you cause him to bleed?
No. Okay. It was all good.
So how do you have to hold their head when you, well, maybe not him, but, like, for the residents? Are their necks strong enough to kind of hold so that while you're brushing they can hold their head still?
You can. Normally, they can, like, hold their head still. I mean, you want to put them in an upright position. That way, like, while you're brushing, they don't, like, inhale their own spit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, you want to make sure that they're in an upright position before you start, like, brushing around in their mouth and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, like, whatever, when I was brushing the other student's teeth, it went fine until it came to, like, time to rinse.
Mm.
So I brushed his teeth, and then, like, I gave him a little swig of water so he could rinse out. And then I held up this, like, kidney-shaped bowl.
Okay.
Up to his mouth, you kind of put his lip, like, you put his bottom lip right at, like, where, like, the indent of the kidney would be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, right when he was, like, ready to spit out the water, I don't know what happened, but I kind of, like, laughed or said something funny. And then he kind of laughed, too. And so he was, like, trying to spit and kind of, like, chuckle at the same time. And so, basically, it turned into, like, him smiling and the water just, like, slowly seeping out over his lips. Like, I felt so bad.
Do you think, I know how you are, listeners know how you are, you'll make comments and people will chuckle and laugh. Do you think that the residents will catch on to your jokes and laugh along with you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, well,
Do you hope?
I take that back. I think I'll be able to make them laugh, but I don't think I'll be able to use the same kind of humor that I normally use because, I don't know, residents, they have dementia and Alzheimer's and stuff like that.
But what's great about that, Layton, is that once you find out, oh, this resident likes this joke here, you can probably just repeat that joke for the next year and a half, and, you know, it'll be the happiest year and a half of their life.
Maybe, but the problem is they won't be able to remember that they laughed the day before. Yesterday was a good day.
That is true.
So it's like the same as like it wouldn't make a difference whether I make a resident laugh today or tomorrow. It'll have made just as much difference if I wouldn't have made him laugh at all the whole time that I was here, except for the last day.
Yeah, it would.
Now, obviously, I won't try to do that. Like, I will try to make the residents laugh, like while I'm here. But you know, it's just weird thinking about that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But a life like that truly just means that you have to live in the moment.
Yeah, true that.
Did you know your dad has been getting pretty popular over back here in Indiana? Do you hear anything about that?
I didn't just hear something about it. I saw something about it, Ruben.
Yeah, he's been in the newspaper. He's been on TV. Maybe you know more than I do. I know it has something to do with his work, but maybe you know more than I do.
Yeah. So, like, let me see here. There was a guy way back, like, when Elkhart was being started. I think that the guy that like first settled here, his name was like Ruthmer, or his last name was Ruthmer, maybe, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then there was another dude that like I don't know if it was his like brother-in-law or something that also came and settled like soon after he settled, and his name was Havilah Beardsley. Oh man.
Okay, I knew the Beardsley. I didn't know about the Havilah part.
Yeah, his name's like Beardsley is his last name.
Oh, okay.
So his first name is Havilah. It's kind of weird, but anyways, if you want like the down low as far as like what actually like, the history is, there's this really cool, amazing mansion. It's like in Elkhart. I don't know like where it is. It's like
it's just north of kind of the downtown area, like Main Street. It's pretty much almost tees into Main Street. But if you Google Ruthmer Mansion, it gives the address on there. It's on Beardsley Avenue, but it's real close to downtown.
Yeah. And like both those mansions, the Ruthmer Mansion and the Beardsley Mansion are like really close to each other.
But, did you ever work on them when you were painting for your dad?
I didn't work on the Ruthmer one, but I did work on the Beardsley one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's why your dad is on TV and in the newspaper.
Yeah. So he way back when they were making the Ruthmer mansion, whatever, like restoring it, my dad did some work there. And then several years later, they called him back and said, hey, like this, I don't know, there's some kind of like, I don't know. It's some kind of like restoration foundation thingy. Managed to also buy the Havilah Beardsley property, and then they were able to start work on that too. And they decided to hire my dad again.
Something very good. Like that. A name.
And so that's what.
Oh, I was going to say a name is worth more than gold. I think that's correct.
Yeah. You mean like a reputation?
Yes. I meant your dad's reputation, not the Beardsley or the Ruthmer.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah.
His reputation got him another gig.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I kind of cut you off, Layton. Were you finished? Was there any more training that you went through here in the first week?
We learned... Well, today we learned about perennial care. are short for, are like, it's normally referred to as pericare, which is a, like the cleaning the genital area. And you know what? I think that is just something that's just a mystery that everybody just needs to solve on their own. So we don't need to discuss that.
I'm fine with that. I don't know what that word meant, but and now I don't want to.
Yep.
Was it awkward? Yeah. Were you talking about it in class?
Yes.
Was it awkward?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, personally, I didn't feel awkward. I didn't know how the rest of the students felt, but I mean, pretty much, like, I don't know, when you get into, like, when you're in class or, like, you're on the floor, sorry, like, I mean, by floor, I mean, like, the work floor, like, in the halls of the nursing home or whatever, and, like, you, like, refer to some of this stuff, it, like, it all just, it becomes very professional and, like, it's just, like, you talk about, I don't know, that stuff just like you would, like, anything else that you would about your work. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I think I know what you mean.
I mean, yeah, it's like a fact of life. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're finished there, I do want to get on to the social aspect. I think you had your first one or two social activities. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, let's see. Actually, I've had several, but the two biggest, I would say, last week were we went, us guys had it's called a dorm free, and that's basically like a dorm free night where the guys do something, and the girls do something, whatever they want, some kind of activity for that evening. And I'm thinking it was Tuesday, last Tuesday, us guys went to, like, there was another volunteer here at Hillcrest many, many years ago, and he owns, like, some property, like, I don't know, 30 minutes away from here, and we got to go on his property, and we got to shoot, like, clay pigeons and stuff. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. That does sound like fun.
It was pretty fun.
Did you hit any clay pigeon?
Did I hit any clay pigeon? So, like, it was funny. Like, a lot of the guys were giving me a lot of,
You can say the C word.
Crud?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. They were giving me lots of crap about, not knowing how to load a shotgun. All right, so, and, like, you know, rightfully so, whatever, but, like, once they, like, knew that I didn't know how to load a shotgun, or specifically the shotgun that I had, I just didn't know, like, where do I shove bullets in, I don't know. Whatevs. But then, so, like, after I asked that question, then, like, all their expectations were greatly lowered. And when I was when like it actually came to, like, performance, I was able to hit, like, my first three clay pigeons.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah. And on that specific shotgun, that was like a full load. Like, that's as many shells as it could hold.
Okay.
So, yep.
Did you have, like, a little mini tournament?
No, it was basically like, okay, what you got to do is you have to look as manly as possible while holding the shotgun.
Are there any pictures of you that we could post on the website or Facebook?
Sadly.
What?
Not of me, like, holding a gun.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I did take some pictures, but none of them were of me because I was taking the picture.
No selfie and shooting.
I wouldn't recommend taking a selfie while shooting. There's something about it that just sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Like,
so you're looking at your phone instead of where you're aiming the gun.
Oh
my goodness.
Well, yeah, you did send a picture. It did look like you're, like, that. It did look like a lot of fun. Looks like you're having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other activity that we did, it would have been Saturday evening. We went out on the lake, and Hillcrest actually has like a little pontoon. Actually, it's not very little. I wouldn't call it little, but it's like whatever size. And they actually have like a grill bolted to the pontoon. And that's actually really awesome. So like you just take all your stuff, like all the stuff you want to eat. So one of the dudes can make some really, really awesome burgers here.
Yeah, I'm listening.
What is that?
What? I'm typing. I'm Googling.
You're typing
I'm
profusely. Googling,
I'm Googling. Or
my goodness.
I'm looking up Hillcrest Home in Arkansas so I can see how this map or how this pond looks.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I can't actually remember what it's called.
Okay, so it's not called. Right there by the property then.
Tony, what's the lake called? Bull Shoals. Okay, the lake is called Bull Shoals.
Okay.
Bull Shoals Lake, something like that. But yeah, it's pretty nice, and it has like some, not cliffs, not like that, like mountains by it, but like it has some pretty nice rock faces like along the one side of the lake, mm-hmm. And so you can like go in there, whatever, get close to it, whatever, and you just kind of feel a little bit like sheltered or whatever. I don't know, like you kind of have your own little private area on the lake. I don't know, it's cool.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. How many people could get on the boat? Like, did all the guys go, or was it?
No, not all the guys, because, okay. I mean, there's never, ever all the guys together at once, because there's always someone, there's always some people that have to be working at the home.
Mm-hmm. Layton, last week I asked you if at some point you'll know everyone's name there. Are you getting to that point where you've at least met everybody that works at Hillcrest?
No, I'm not there yet. Ugh. Of the guys, maybe, but of the girls, definitely not. So I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Well, you've still got a lot of time to do it yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited.
Layton, I was watching a documentary about a guy called Robert Durst.
Robert Durst.
Yes. Have you by chance heard of him?
No.
Okay. I'll just give you the overview. You did hear about him in the news back around 2000. He was on trial for dismembering his neighbor, and he was also involved, his wife disappeared back in early 1980s. His wife disappeared, was never found or anything. And there's just a lot of strange happenings around his life. Well, he's old. He's very old now. And he agreed to do this documentary, which is with a TV crew. And so you can watch it now on iTunes. It's very, very interesting. He is on, the TV crew interviews him and just ask him about different things. And it's a lot like the podcast, what was it called? Serial. The podcast Serial. It's a lot like that, except it's done in a video format.
Okay, so, but it's like very like well produced.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Production's awesome. There's not as many scenes or audio from the courthouse, but it's a lot more of just talking to him directly.
Okay.
And, it's really cool because it's a guy that a lot of people think murdered his wife, think he murdered his neighbor, think he murdered some other people too, and yet he wasn't in jail. But because of this show, last I saw is that they did the police did arrest him on some charge since this show came out, and so it is interesting. If you're interested in documentaries, it's called The Jinx: The Life and Death of Robert Durst. And like I said, you can purchase it from iTunes, and we'll probably have a link in the on the website. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that real quick.
Nice.
I think that's all I've got, Layton. It is episode 100.
Aw.
So that's kind of cool.
Wow.
Is there any way, what would be the best way for people to contact you and to reach out to you and tell you how what their lives are up to, what they're up to in their lives?
They should email me or send me a text. If you have my number, then you probably should have my number. If you don't have my number now, then I probably don't want you to have my number. But
would you accept an email, though, from those who do not have your number?
Exactly. Yeah, you can email me at Layton125@gmail.com.
And how is Layton spelled? Because Siri thinks it's spelled differently.
Apparently my church does, too. Before I left for Sarasota, Florida, they had a farewell for me, and they got a little cake for me. And on the cake, they spelled my name Layton.
And you're saying that's wrong?
That is wrong. but I've let it go, Ruben.
You didn't bring it up?
I would never bring it up, ever. I would never bring it up.
Well,
I would never.
The problem is, if someone emails you with that spelling, you will not get it.
That's right. Some other guy will get it.
So how should they spell it?
They should spell it Layghton, and then 125@gmail.com if they want to email me.
Very good. Layton, I don't have anything more. Like I said, we'll have some guests on to talk about some history and some other countries and some other news in general. Any closing thoughts that you have?
No. Except go Hillcrest.
All right. Can we plan on this? We're recording this as of Monday, and does it
right.
look like that will work again next week?
Right now, yes. I honestly don't know. I haven't gotten the schedule because not every Monday is free. I don't know, but usually we have like one free night a week. But I just don't know.
Okay. Real quick, what do you have coming? Does training change coming up this next week? This week?
Yeah. So this week, we have classes again. It's all classes this week. But then the next week, we have what's called clinicals, and that's basically when, like, hands-on training at either a hospital or a nursing home or a hospice starts. So, I mean, and I'm going to be taking my clinicals here at Hillcrest.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I could tell there was someone in the room with you, maybe working out. Have you told Hillcrest staff that you are a semi-celebrity in Northern Indiana?
I have not. 'Cause as of right now, like, my dad is more of a semi-celebrity than I am because he's on TV.
Touche.
Yeah. Totes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see if we can change that.
Okay.
So until next week, hope everything goes well. And I hope that you find yourself relaxed in those awkward and uncomfortable situations.
Yeah. Don't worry. If anybody can break the ice, I can. I can handle an uncomfortable situation.